Happy Monday morning, everyone. If you're a woman listening to this, you may want to make sure you're sat down and possibly have a stiff drink in your hand, because you're going to hear some things that are going to make your blood boil. In case you missed it, Friday, March the 8th, was International Women's Day, and I was reading some comments and some articles about that and couldn't help but notice a certain irony that the same day in the United States is designated as National Be Nasty Day, and it was followed on Saturday by National Panic Day. So whoever comes up with these dates must have had a devilish sense of humour or was probably just crazy. But you know, to become designated as a national day, the president of the time does have to sign a proclamation to that effect. So at some point in history, a president has had to state that, "I, President Crazy, designate this day as National Be Nasty Day." I mean, it's so bizarre, but it's true. Truth is stranger than fiction, I find. Most of the national days are bizarre, and if you Google it, you can get a list, and it's worth a couple of minutes of humour, because there are some quite crazy days. But there are some occasional highlights to look forward to as well that I hadn't noticed or didn't know about. July the 14th is National Nude Day. So I've made a note on my calendar on July the 13th to go buy a new pair of binoculars. August the 25th is Kiss and Makeup Day, so you want to make a note not to eat garlic on August the 24th. But you'll definitely want to stay in bed on December the 31st, because that is, and I kid you not, officially National Unlucky Day. And I noticed that I missed the national day on March the 5th, which was Multiple Personalities Day. But I'm alive and here to tell the tale, so I guess I got away with it. Anyway, back to International Women's Day. This one was marked by an essay by political analyst and former White House press secretary to Clinton, Dee Dee Myers, to argue that women in leadership roles is now a topic that can be seriously discussed. Well, how gracious. Her essay actually was little more than a PR stunt to promote her book, Why Women Should Rule the World. It got picked up on a lot of outlets, which is how I came across it. I find the book a little controversial because, like many similar books, particularly written in America, it doesn't go deep into history. American history is quite short compared to other parts of the world, and so it really ignores some key historical events, and it claims that biological evidence exists to show that women were once just not cut out for leadership. Now, if I were a woman, I'd find it hard not to take offense at that. And here's a classic statement from the book. "Women clearly lacked the intellectual capacity and emotional fortitude to make the difficult decisions that leadership required. It wasn't bias, it was biology. It was just the way women were made." What utter rubbish. This is me, it doesn't say that in the book. I'm saying, what utter rubbish. For centuries, men controlled the written word and access to education, which even today is forbidden for females in many societies, particularly higher education. In the last 2,000 years, it has never been a level playing field for women. As I point out in Three Simple Steps, the deeper we go into history, the more evidence exists to show that women were as effective, if not better, leaders and warriors than men. It's what happened after the invention of writing that changed things. There are no gospels written by women because women were forbidden to learn to read and write. It has nothing to do with intellectual capacity. But people seem to forget that, and International Women's Day brought out some real pearlers of comments. Listen to this one. "I think it's fair to say that women are a little more collaborative in their approach overall and a little less driven to conflict as opposed to driven to working out problems." That was Janet Napolitano, the US Secretary of Homeland Security. Well, clearly she'd never met the women who were my bosses at one time or another, because they caused conflict wherever they went and wouldn't collaborate with anyone at all. The BBC added this condescending tidbit to their pointless debate on the subject. "Despite these ongoing challenges, the benefits of empowering women are undeniable. Women are the engine driving global economic growth. Last year alone, women were responsible for $20 trillion in spending." Well, what on earth does that have to do with empowerment or leadership? And anyway, $19 trillion of that spending lies in unused shoes in my wife's closet. So I suggested to my wife that if I recycle her shoes, it'll trigger economic growth. And as you can imagine, that didn't go down very well. Nor did my suggestion that rather than choose between a woman or a man to lead us, perhaps it should be a happily married couple. To that, she pointed out the undeniable truth. If mother is happy, the household is happy. If mother is unhappy, everyone else hides in the basement. She said to me, "Are you sure you want to give an unhappy mother the secret codes to a nuclear arsenal?" I hadn't thought of that. It's a really good point. And this is all nonsense, of course, because there are men who are good leaders and rubbish leaders. Same with women. Leadership has nothing to do with gender or sexuality, but authenticity, integrity, and confidence. It's about doing the right thing at the right time. And if women were given the same opportunity to become leaders, then they'd have the same opportunity to show authenticity, integrity, and confidence. The only decent comment I could come across or find was from Nancy Pelosi, the first woman to serve as Speaker of the United of the U.S. House of Representatives. She put it best on Friday when she said that women should simply be themselves. "You are the only person who can make your unique contribution," she said. "Your authenticity is your strength. Be you." And I can't top that advice. Whether you are male or female, authenticity is your strength. On that subject, my thanks to all of you who are voting daily for Three Simple Steps in the Small Business Book Awards. You know, polling for votes goes really against my better nature and my better thoughts, but there's something about this that's got under my skin, because the leading book is written by a university professor who has never once owned or led a small business. He hasn't got a clue what it takes, or what it feels like, or what the challenges are. And his subject, anyway, is about multinational corporate trends. What on earth does that have to do with small businesses? His publisher is a big house and can call on a lot of employees to vote daily. And, of course, the writer can call upon his students to vote. So the whole thing's a bit of a scam. There's nothing authentic going on there. In fact, last time I looked, no book in the top 20, except Three Simple Steps, was actually written by someone who knows what it takes to be your own boss and build a successful small business. So by shaking up all those so-called experts, I hope we're able to make a statement, not just for the little guy with his boutique publisher, but for authenticity itself. So if you have the time, it only takes a couple of seconds, I do appreciate it. Please vote daily, and let's see if we can make a bit of noise for the little guy. So I wish you a fantastic week at work. Remember, make a positive difference in someone's life. Have fun doing it, and you'll enjoy the material rewards that come your way naturally as a result of that attitude.